This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. With federal funding cuts looming, the leaders of the state's nutritional education programs are left wondering how their work will carry on.
We've always approached our work in the way of how do we make this so it's sustainable and that it does keep going if we're not here, but putting that into practice has been a big challenge.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is provided by Hope Gas, committed to the growth and development of West Virginia to strengthen the community. Information at wvisforhope.com. A new study from Marshall University indicates flavored vapes pose a unique addiction risk. Chris Schultz has more.
A new study on mice, led by researchers at Marshall University, reveals that flavor additives commonly used in e-cigarettes can enhance nicotine's effects on the nervous system. Brandon Henderson, associate professor of biomedical sciences at Marshall, says the study found that vaping some flavors like vanilla can stimulate one of the brain's key reward centers, even without nicotine present. He says the findings raise concerns about other understudied chemicals used in vape products and their impact on smoking cessation efforts.
I know kids that would never, you know, use a cigarette because, like, oh, that's going to be guaranteed cancer. But then they'll proceed to vape because they see that as a safer alternative.
Henderson, who has spent most of his academic career studying nicotine and cessation, says the best prevention is to not smoke or vape in the first place. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
A federal appeals court in Virginia will hear oral arguments in September in a lawsuit against Union Carbide. Curtis Tate has more.
The Cortland Company and Union Carbide will present their case to the Fourth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals in Richmond, Virginia on September 11th. Cortland is asking the appeals court to reconsider a U.S. district judge's decision last year to not impose a permanent injunction ordering Union Carbide to stop the discharge of pollutants from its Philmont landfill in South Charleston. It asks the appeals court to reject a voluntary remediation agreement between Union Carbide and the West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection for cleanup of the site. And it asks the court to consider increasing the civil penalties of $200,000 for violations of the Clean Water Act. Cortland filed its first lawsuit in 2018, seeking to stop water pollution from the Philmont landfill. The facility operated for nearly three decades, and as court testimony showed, it was never properly permitted. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Curtis Tate in Charleston.
The Allegheny Front, based in Pittsburgh, is a public radio program that reports on environmental issues in the region. Here's their latest story. A look at how neighboring Pennsylvania is attracting huge dollars with artificial intelligence investment by doing something West Virginia hasn't done yet, using shuttered coal plants.
President Trump attended an event hosted by Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh this week promoting the growth of artificial intelligence in Pennsylvania. This is the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple. The Energy and Innovation Summit was organized by U.S. Senator Dave McCormick of Pennsylvania. Trump addressed executives from the oil and gas, tech, and finance industries in attendance.
This afternoon, 20 leading technology and energy companies are announcing more than $92 billion of investments in Pennsylvania.
The Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier was there as well, and he joins me now to talk about it. Reed, explain what this summit was and how did it come about?
Well, the whole idea was conceived by U.S. Senator Dave McCormick. He, of course, was elected in 2024. He's a Republican and used to work in finance. The event brought together political leaders like McCormick, Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania, and President Trump and many of his cabinet members. Now, they were joined by people high up there in the business world, the CEO of ExxonMobil, the president of Google, and the head of Blackstone, which is one of the largest private equity firms in the world. Basically, a lot of very rich, powerful people in one room. They were there to talk about and hype the oncoming rush for artificial intelligence, which we and other outlets have reported is going to need a lot of energy, a lot of electricity to power the advanced computing that goes into it.
So what were the announced investments?
From the energy side, almost all of it was devoted to natural gas and infrastructure that would support that. Though Google did announce that it was investing in hydropower in Pennsylvania, and there was some nuclear power as well discussed. More specifically, there were natural gas plants discussed in northeast Pennsylvania. It was announced that the shuttered Bruce Mansfield power plant in Beaver County, which was formerly a coal plant, would be converted into a natural gas plant. Westinghouse, headquartered in Pittsburgh, says it's working to build 10 new large nuclear power plant reactors in southwest Pennsylvania. Lots of pipelines, lots of transmission lines, and of course, lots of data centers, though those are mostly in the eastern part of the state. Here's Dave McCormick touting what he says is a new economic renaissance for the state brought on by AI.
These investments are a testament to Pennsylvania's unique resources. Unbelievable natural gas reserves, abundant fresh water, a massive installed base of nuclear power, incredible tech.
The numbers are big, the money is big, but there is not a lot of detail right now about when and how these projects will be built.
I think I already know the answer to this, but what wasn't discussed at the event?
Well, climate change was not really discussed. There's a lot of studies out there that are saying that where all this electricity to power AI is going to come from is fossil fuels, which are a main driver of climate change. Really, the only person who even gestured at it was the CEO of ExxonMobil, surprisingly, who talked about the need to reduce emissions, including using technologies like carbon capture, which still isn't very widely used, but is something that companies like ExxonMobil are starting to do at scale. Even Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, who's a Democrat and has talked about climate change in the past as a big problem, didn't really mention it. He talked about the incredible economic possibilities that AI and this build out will have for the state.
Thanks so much, Reed.
Thanks, Kara.
There's more reporting from the Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier on AI and energy at AlleghenyFront.org. That's the Allegheny Front Environment Update. I'm Carol Holsapple.
The Allegheny Front is based in Pittsburgh and reports on regional environmental news. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:51. Some lingering fog this morning, becoming mostly sunny. High temperatures in the 80s and low 90s. Partly cloudy tonight with lows in the 60s and low 70s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and hot. A heat advisory in the west from 11 o'clock in the morning through 8 o'clock in the evening. High temperatures in the 80s and 90s with high index values. Support for WVPB is provided by Dutch Miller Subaru in Charleston. Dutch Miller Automotive is proud to be dedicated to multiple community service initiatives and local charities. More about our team and the Subaru Love Promise at DutchMillerSubaru.com. Good nutrition is a cornerstone of a healthy lifestyle. But it is often out of reach for millions of Americans with limited resources. Programs like the Family Nutrition Program that encourage the adoption of healthy lifestyle behaviors will soon lose most of their funding after the passage of the Trump administration's Big Beautiful Bill. Kristen McCartney is director of SNAP Ed at WVU Extension Services. She spoke with reporter Chris Schultz about what cuts to SNAP Ed will mean to communities across the state.
Can you tell me what it is that WVU Extension does?
WVU Extension is part of the land grant system of universities. So with that designation, Extension's role is really to take the knowledge that's generated at the university and then translate it for people in the communities. So really anything that's applicable to people in the communities that can help them have a better life.
How does that mission connect to food and nutrition for West Virginians?
Particularly with the West Virginia Family Nutrition Program at Extension, we've really focused on different parts of the food system and how they interact with individuals. So, this concept of nutrition security, food security is just do you have money to buy food, but nutrition security is really looking at what is your individual capacity or the community's capacity to access healthy, nutritious foods from the ground up. Literally, you know, we have Grow This, which is focused on helping people learn how to garden. We also have programs that provide basically free fruits and vegetables to kids or to folks with chronic diseases through our kids market at the store and our pharmacy programming. We provide nutrition education and cooking classes, and even up to the level of working with WV Food Justice Lab on establishing food policy councils locally so that they can coordinate different types of food access.
Can you explain to me what role or what percentage of your funding comes from those federal funds?
So the West Virginia Family Nutrition Program is really supported through two different funds from the USDA. One is called FNAP, or the Expanded Food and Nutrition Program. I mean, that's specifically allocated to extension and focused on the nutrition education piece. That's really only one third of the Family Nutrition Program's budget. The other two thirds were provided through SNAP education, which is the one that was eliminated in HR 1. And so obviously it was a bigger portion of funding, so that allowed for a greater reach. SNAP Ed is really focused on policy, systems, and environmental change that go along with that education. So while it's needed and necessary to provide education on how to prepare healthy meals or to eat healthily, if a community doesn't have access to healthy foods, then it's really hard for them to engage in that behavior.
That work to ensure the health and prosperity of West Virginians is going to be impacted by this cuts. Do you have any concept at this time of how these cuts are going to impact West Virginians' health and well-being?
I really don't. I think, you know, the biggest part of SNAP Ed, the biggest benefit was just the integration work. So SNAP Ed's mission was very broad and, you know, like, do the things in the community that will help support healthier behaviors and decisions. And really, SNAP Ed was not siloed into one thing. So you think about other things related to food and health, like, you know, food pantries. And what SNAP Ed really did was link those things together and try to make it a more cohesive story for people in the community, you know, where all the messaging around healthy eating and active living were integrated and supporting each other. It's hard to conceptualize, you know, the role of that, like, integrative work and what will happen when that's not there. There's been a lot of trying to figure out, you know, how do we keep the work going without the people in place? It's really been a challenge. The good thing is we've always approached our work in the way of how do we make this so it's sustainable and that it does keep going if we're not here. But really kind of like putting that into practice has been a big challenge. It's in identifying, you know, who are the partners that can keep this going.
Is there anything that I haven't given you a chance to discuss with me, or is there anything that we've touched upon that you'd like to highlight at this time?
The other piece of this that, you know, we keep trying to figure out is, you know, the disconnect between, you know, what we're hearing, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s, you know, the MAHA approach and those things, which, you know, tied in so perfectly with many of the things we were already doing. And, you know, it just seems like such an oversight to lose a program like SNAP Ed that's perfectly situated to really bring to life some of those ideas related to food and nutrition and physical activity that we've heard are the priorities of the MAHA movement. So, you know, hope, I guess, that once, you know, because of all this advocacy that's happened to try to retain SNAP Ed, that maybe we'll be able to rejuvenate the program at some point and get back the momentum we've lost.
That was Kristen McCartney speaking with Chris Schultz about the effects of federal funding cuts to local SNAP Ed programs. To read a longer version of this interview, visit our website at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University and Marshall University School of Journalism and Mass Communications. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Maria Young, and Randy Yowie. Maria Young produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning. WVPB Charleston, WVBY Beckley, WVBL Bluefield, WVPW Buchanan, WVWV Huntington, WVEP Martinsburg, WVKM Matewan, WVPM Morgantown, WVPG Parkersburg, WVDS Petersburg, WVWS Webster Springs, WVNP Wheeling, and we're online at wvpublic.org. Support is provided by Hope Gas, providing information on how to know before you dig. 811 by phone or online at wv811.com. It's 8 o'clock.